Hey, everybody, this is Corey Salty Drew Floyd, and welcome to the AmeriMe Junkies. Today, we're talking about anime that's on the horizon. No, we're not talking about Big Booty Hoes. Jeez. Every time with this guy. Always with the Big Booty Hoes, this guy. What's wrong with you?
I mean, or like, big to the anime girls, because anime girls really don't have big booties, so...
All right, I can agree. I can agree with that. Big shitty anime girls and more. This is the AmeriMe Junkies podcast. Let's go.
I don't know what you're talking about. I like them for the personality.
Hey guys, we're back and. Before we even got to the intro, I heard one of the greatest statements in all of cap personality.
You watching for the personality?
Yeah.
I got into a discussion a few days ago about that. Some guy was just like, I don't know. I really like Tsunade. Why? It's just something about her personality. It's just like, she built like a capital P. Yeah, it's something about her personality.
Yeah.
And to kick things off, let's talk about an upcoming anime where the main character has a ton of personality. And that's wasn't Milk the Saga of Tanya the Evil?
Yes.
She has a ton of personality in that series.
Demon, if you could pull up the if you could pull up the images I sent, because we could just roll through these things.
And I don't know if y'all watched the first season of Saga of Tanya the Evil. That title always tripped me up. But it's an isekai about...
Of course it's an isekai.
About a man who fucked around and found out not to play with God. And he sent some train coon... He sent Shrinkun after him, and when he woke up, he was a 12-year-old little girl.
And for the record, folks, it literally is a truck.
No, it was a train.
I mean,
Train Chan started the saga of Tanya the Evil.
Got him up out of here, and as he was dying, him and God was arguing. I don't know where they do that at.
I mean, that, like, and that's on God.
And that's literally on God.
That discussion went, is like, do you believe in me? No, because I have to send you to another world then. Like, the fuck?
It's like, I don't believe in you. I'm right here. Fake news.
Right, like, I literally just stopped time before you get killed by the train. How can you not believe in me? Eli, I don't believe in that shit. And that's Tanya. Talk about the
saga of Tanya of Evil. Yes. Now, I ain't gonna lie. If this one kind of snuck up on me because it could have easily just been slept on. But I watched it.
I believe it was.
It was by a lot of folks, but not enough because I'm really hyped to see a sequel to this. This little demon child.
Personality.
And I do mean demon. Little bastard.
All right, you got me there. Because that is, I do like crazy.
Yeah, that literally is right up your alley. She plays all the hits. crazy, and you need Jesus crazy.
So, talk about the anime Demon Engine. You feel like this was just shit.
It definitely was.
So, like we said, no. God was like, so, got pushed. The person got pushed in front of the train. And God stopped time to speak to him through multiple different people. Like, all right, You need to like some adjustments in your faith. So go ahead. You're gonna die, but I'm gonna bring you back somewhere else. But then, you know, born as, you know, this little evil psychopath who, ironically enough, still doesn't believe. But God is this God is a petty God.
It's like,
will give you powers. You can enhance this, but the only way you're going to survive is if you pray in my name, and you can do that, you'd be able to use this power without dying.
So, in other words, you're getting some of that Old Testament God.
Yep.
Because folks always act like this shit was not a thing. I'm like, listen, if you read the Bible, you'll remember.
It's not even like Old Testament. It's more so like the spite of Tanya for being put in this other world, in the pettiness of this God. It's like, no, I'm just gonna crank this shit up to 11. I'm just gonna start killing in the name.
Yo,
I feel like that.
Yo, the series kicked off with her just murdering people.
Yo, annihilating. She go by him, her, bodies.
Because it was, it's like, again, this is something at first glance you would have not thought about it.
At all.
But yo.
Demon Engine, the hate, like, he sat me down, he made me watch it, John, because I really wasn't feeling it. But after watching the first 2-3 episodes, I'm like, it's John Fire. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely excited for the second season of the saga of the Tiny Evil.
Shoot, what's the next one up?
You know, there's a shit ton, and I don't have them all downloaded, so give me... You kind of just sprung the idea of me putting these on screen.
Do you have an anime that you're looking forward to, Corey?
yes, but which one am I going to cite? You know what? I'm going to cite something that it's not even coming back. It's first time out. Chainsaw Man, the anime.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's a big manga hit. The guy announced it's getting an anime. That is going to be off the walls.
Okay, yeah. So it's just throwing them all out of order anytime I click to show one. So
it's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
There was no particular order to begin with.
Are y'all watching anything right now that y'all fell in love with?
I finally watched Rent a Girlfriend. Hilarious.
I've been watching the back of my eyelids. That's what I've been
the back of my eyelids. Shut your ass up.
Well, me, I'm watching Spy Family.
Yeah, you see, you really are enjoying that. Definitely.
Yes. Oh. It's really good. It's really good.
There we go.
And of course, oh, hey.
Here's our special guest. He just woke up. Well, anyway, Anya Forger is anime's newest darling. That little girl is a joy to watch in that anime.
There's also another One Piece movie coming out. Like, mind you, One Piece is literally the top dog right now.
It really is. It really is.
And I watched their big 1,000th episode, and I gotta admit, like, it really was amazing. Of course, because I fell off years ago, I had no idea what part of the story was going on, but right, the whole same. Episode was felt like a movie. It had a movie quality animation. So,
same. Also, a manga that you're turning this year, Hunter x Hunter.
Oh yeah, spoke on that on the Geek Report. Which reminds me, you bastards need to check out the Geek Report. That's a That's on the Mare Me Media's YouTube page.
I have to watch it because so far I don't care for it.
You never watched Hunter Hunter?
No. And I don't care for it. Because of the fans, I don't care for it. Better yet, because of the fans of Hisoka, I have yet to watch it.
Yo, those Hisoka fans throw me for a loop too, though. I can't even front. Like,
I can. All right, that's a fair assessment. I get you.
Like, something wrong with the ball.
Something wrong with the ball. It's like, oh, but he's talking about fighting. This man is having clearly dark thoughts about this child, and it is implied. It's all implied. In the section, like, why are you staring at his ass?
It's
for?
Very.
What is all this extra like, shit?
I'm sorry. Like, I need Chris Hansen to show up. Like, sir, I need right? you to have a seat.
Like, and Hisoka, it's the fact that they simp for him so hard, and it's just like, it turned me off today, man. Like,
y'all simping for a pedophile. Sexualized Gon. Even in one episode where he sees Gon, his penis lights up. He's like, Gon! I'm like,
getting
This was any other medium. This genre would've been canceled.
So the fans sent for a pedo, and I'm just not here.
But the rest of the series is good, and Hisoka is not in like every episode.
Right.
It's not. It's not centered around.
I believe it. I know. I believe it. It's just.
And
it's just too much.
And on top of that, he is an amazing fucking fighter. Like the pedo throwing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like saying R. Kelly's an amazing singer.
He is an amazing singer.
Yeah, but that doesn't cancel out the other shit.
It does not. And it does not cancel out Hisoka being a goddamn pedo.
All right, I don't want to say the word too much in this episode. I feel like we'll get flagged.
Right.
I would like to move ahead to another anime that's going to be coming back. The Devil's a Part-Timer.
Oh.
I actually had that on my list of my top five isekais. The Devil's a Part-Timer. So, I'm looking forward to that one. We can run through the list at another time.
That's not a problem. Howdy, stranger.
How y'all doing? Hey. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. It is an honor to be here. I just woke up. I did the overnight shift. I'm a security guard at a hospital. So,
We have all been there, sir. So trust.
Literally.
Trust.
Can you help deliver my baby? The room is to the left. Like, you know, just
like that's above my pay grade, man. That's above my pay grade.
No, yeah, I actually almost lost my job today because when you're a security guard, you're never supposed to leave your post, right?
Right.
So but there's an emergency going on. This poor old lady, she doesn't know where she's going, and there's only one ATM in this. I practically live in this hospital because my schedule is fucking crazy. But anyways, I'm doing this overnight shift in Jacoby Hospital. Now, if any of y'all know what Jacoby Hospital is, it might as well be a campus of 8 buildings, but there's only one ATM there out of this whole 8 buildings. This poor old lady is using a walker and she needs help going to the ATM, and as a security guard you can give directions, but this is like one building with 8 buildings together. I'm not gonna let this old lady just wander around. She's not gonna remember what the fuck I told her.
Right.
So I walk her all the way to the ATM and she needs a cab to go home. So this old lady, apparently she doesn't know what computers do. So, you know, she was taking too long. So I just gave her money of my own so she could take a cab.
That's nice of you.
Huh?
That's nice of you.
Thanks. I mean, you know, she wasn't a MILF. She was a GILF. You know, she was a grandma. But is GILF a thing? And she was a GILF.
Yes, so, it is.
It is? Oh, wow. She was a GILF, and I think she was hitting on me. But I almost got in trouble because I was away from my post for too long. And I think connecting this to comic books somehow, I just want to help people any way that I can. I just want to help any way that I can. I was pretty depressed as a kid, and video games really helped me with that. Shout out Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Right. Shout out Black Ops 1. Like, right. It really, I was literally
only legend.
I would literally cut school, not even to hang out with the Bloods or the Crips, but I would just go back home to literally play Call of Duty, and my mom would like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" Da, 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 da. Like, I remember I loved video games so much. I remember when Fallout 4 came out, and I was in like this college prep class in high school. Apparently, in high school, you could take this. Yeah. AP class to prepare for high school. I was like, look, it's not working out. Oh, but you're just the top in your class. Is there something going on at home? I was like, yeah, it's just getting so crazy at home. And it was just me playing Fallout 4. I remember I did the same thing when Fallout 76 came out in college, and I shouldn't have dropped out of class just to play that stupid shit.
Yeah, I'm about to say that was a very poor choice on your part, sir.
Yeah. Though overall, I think connecting the story with the old lady and video games, we just want to make things that make people excited about tomorrow. Worked on your passion, but it's like 3 a.m, and of course you have to go to bed, but you're excited that tomorrow is Monday? Like, we want to make products like that, like. People are like skipping school, or people are like calling off of work because, oh my god, this book is so amazing, or oh my god,
chasing the dream.
I can't wait for Tuesday. Huh?
We're gonna pick back up with True Comics after we pay some bills.
We got a little commercial break coming. This is the AmeriMe Junkies podcast.
Yeah, that's the music.
Oh, okay. All right. Jam to the music. Thought we was all gonna be doing that.
No. All right, y'all. So we got True Comics here. We're gonna discuss what works he has, how it relates to DC, and everything else. So, if you don't mind, sir, introduce yourself to the people.
I'm known by many names. My original name is Devontae Duquan Jeffries. Technically, it's pronounced Duquan, but it's like, let's make it sound spicy. Let's call it Duquan.
Right.
Fun fact, the first comic book I ever picked up was a X-Men number 12 by Jim Lee.
Oh, wow.
And then my first superhero I ever like oh my god, like this superhero was like amazing, was Deadpool by Rob Liefeld.
Right.
Yeah, the first animated cartoon I watched was Spawn. Yeah, okay. Not the movie. I never watched the movie, okay. It was the cartoon. So I was like, that was that spark of I'll become a stand-up comedian. I don't know how that connected, but that's when I was like into like entertainment.
That Spawn anime was amazing.
Oh my goodness. Wanda.
Right.
It definitely
wasn't for the faint, that's for sure.
It definitely like MTV was
HBO
out back then. Was it HBO?
That was HBO.
Oh, okay.
MTV. It was like,
oh no, don't count on MTV. They were showing Aeon Flux.
Yeah, I'm about to say,
yeah, Aeon Flux might have
been the most violent thing MTV animation put out. But at the same time, like, it wasn't even their studio. It was a French studio. But regardless. All right, Drew.
Because I comics, saw...
You, how old are you, sir?
I'm 24.
Ah, yeah, because I'm hearing them like, yo. I was like, you are young. I was like, it's first animated cartoon. I'm like, Spawn? Oh, like,
yeah. It was either Spawn or X-Men the Animated Series. I just started watching Batman the Animated Series like a week ago.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like I'm really trying to catch up. So, I think now that I think about it. Because a whole lot of self-discovery of just what our brand is and what our marketing is has happened over the span of a month. Like, it's so crazy how nothing can happen, and it feels like nothing is happening, and boom, everything is happening all at once, in a good way. But in terms of our brand, the message to ourselves is, like, we cater to people who feel like stranded or abandoned, or people who's dealt with like personal loss or like personal triumphs and whatnot. And in terms of our like superheroes, it's kind of like Game of Thrones for comic books. There are no heroes, there are no villains. It's just people with their own challenges that they go through, and they coincidentally have superpowers. Another fun fact about our comic books is that no one wears capes. I just thought it's interesting how in Marvel and DC,
no capes.
Yeah, no capes. Stop. No capes.
It makes sense though, because most of the time, capes don't really have a function,
like at all. Batman cape just now started to have a function, like.
Well, no. Batman uses his cape to literally scare the shit out of people. Batman uses that as like distractions, and to hide when he's about to throw a batarang.
Yeah, but now it has actual utility to it now. Because now it's bulletproof leather.
It turns into a wingsuit.
Yeah, it turns into a wingsuit now.
That's cool. I still got to watch that Batman movie. I saw like the first 10 minutes on YouTube, and it's amazing. It's amazing. The
Batman talk that is being had.
It's amazing. What was I saying? But yeah.
Slowly boiling me.
Yeah.
You're right.
What was I saying? We think it's kind of, we want to make something that caters to anti-heroes, if that makes sense.
The anti-hero is popular. You know, we got Deadpool, we got the Punisher, Batman. So, you know, anti-hero is popular right now. So that's not a bad
Batman's rock, a though. Villain.
It's so many questions in comic books we like to just delve deeper in. Like, what makes someone... One of the books that we're working on is The Henchman. And imagine Scarface, where Tony Montana is the same thing, like working for the mafia. But imagine if he was a henchman for the Joker.
Okay.
So there's a few things where, like, it explains how come the henchmen are bad at shooting guns. Like, how come they always miss?
Nice.
Or if the Joker is such a psychopath, why are people working for him? Or... like, doesn't the Joker make people uncomfortable? Like, there has to be a reason that he's recruiting so many people, despite what he's known for. So I like explaining that gray area of comic books, like the life of a henchman in a world of superheroes and supervillains. Like,
I took the ad, the Craigslist ad, to work for Bane. Because it ain't cutting it with the $1,200 rent for a fucking apartment in the hood.
With Razzy Zazzy.
I mean, I would think the Joker probably has a good dental plan.
No, he don't.
Oh.
Joker, yo, Joker is a whole asshole. I could, like, if it came to running...
You don't work for Joker by choice. Mm. Well, you do choice. You do work for Joker by choice. Just not yours.
Right. It's not your choice.
Some of the other ones, yeah, I can see you working for them for choice. Like, you out here making the fucking $725 on this fucking job, and you gotta pay for a $1,200 studio apartment. $2,500 studio apartment in the hood. Of course I'm gonna go sell drugs for Bane.
So we're out here selling this cheap venom. We're out here selling liquid.
So let me ask you a question, True.
Yes.
What villain would you want to work for now? Can I? I'm interested. What villain would you work for?
Lex Luthor. He rich. Let me be his bodyguard.
He got mercy. You can't be the bodyguard.
Shit. Mercy.
Yeah. He got the android. I don't know what we're gonna do.
Yeah, like
he's rich, but you're gonna be working. He might be rich, but working for Lex Luthor is just like rich.
So basically working for Jeff Bezos.
He'll be working for Bezos.
Just basically working for Jeff Bezos.
Damn. I need you to take this package. Take it to Bane. I probably work for the Riddler. The Riddler
I feel like the Riddler gives you like a small standardized test before you even.
I was have just about to say that, just to see what your IQ level is.
It's like I pay you based on your IQ.
You have a high IQ of 4. Shit. $3 an hour.
That's horrible.
You had a question, Corey?
But yeah, True Comics. When did you start working on making your own content? When did you realize you're like, all right, this is what I'm doing?
I have no idea what I'm doing, but it's working. It was during a place of like sadness and confusion. I didn't know how to cope with it, so I had Microsoft Word and I just started typing what I wanted to type, and then so it just dawned on me, like, this is more, oh, it's about to rain. This is more than like some sort of coping mechanism for like my whirlwind of emotions. Like, this is something that I could like feed my family with. And this is something I could like really help people out with, because I know I'm not the only one going through this and what's happening.
Right.
So I decided to put some spray paint on it. Originally, it was a play, actually. Fun fact, it was a play on some Tyler Perry shit. It was a play, and imagine The Matrix if it was on Broadway, or like if it was a play, and there was so many things going on that it wouldn't work if it was a play. So we turned it into a movie, but movies cost money. And there's so much equipment going on, and I'm not an entrepreneur. Like, I don't know. I'm not good with numbers. I'm not good at selling things. I can sell my personality,
right?
But I'm not good at selling like a car or something. I used to sell knives in a scam, by the way, and I was pretty bad at it.
Were you one of the ones that hopped out on you in a shopping center?
Just walking up to people with a knife is just not good selling. it's not fucking safe. So hey, the people selling perfume was like, "What the fuck is wrong with that guy?"
Right,
like he's trying to around the mall.
Yeah. What else? But yeah, it started off as me just dealing with negative emotions, and it turned out like I'm naturally talented at this, and I need to be skilled at it. If I could be talented and skilled at it, and be disciplined at it, this can go somewhere. So we turned it into a play, and then we turned it into a movie, and then movies, like how do we realistically bring this to life? Because I am my mother's son and I'm very cheap. So we turned it into a comic book, and shout out to Enoch for seeing the vision and being so patient, because the more creative an idea is, the slower it'll take for it to be built. You can build a shack in a day, but if you want to build a mansion, it's going to take a few years. So, another thing is that, like, there's like in the art community, there's this natural entitlement that comes with it. Like, oh, I'm talented, so I should be able to snap my fingers and I should be successful tomorrow or something. But the more talented you are, the harder you're going to have to work due to the standard that people have of you. And we have nothing but high standards here at True Comics, like only the best storytelling and the best art. And video games is coming soon, but one step at a time. We like to go to the bottom and scale to the top. And I can kind of ramble on and on, because so much has happened in a year.
So I seen recently on your Instagram that you just submitted your comic to somebody. You got rejected. Sorry to hear that, but you know, every rejection gonna lead to that yes. Right. So who can you talk about? Who was it that you submitted to? Because you didn't say on the IG, so I wanted to ask.
That's so crazy, because my editor was like, "Bro, you need media training, bro. You can't just say whatever you want." And I'm like, "Why not?" And shout out Kingwood Comics. Shout out DC Crownson. He's one of the most patient industry moguls that you know you'll ever speak with. He's so patient. He's so kind. He's so understanding. He's so friendly. There's absolutely no hatred, no beef, no animosity over here. Like, it's all love. And he actually put in a good word for us at Godhood Comics.
Hey, and shout out to Godhood Comics, yo.
Right?
Yeah. Man, it's one thing I actually did embarrass myself the first time, because I kept like texting him and annoying him, like, "Hey," I felt like that fairy in Zelda, like, "Listen,
hey, listen, Link.
It's Link. Me. Listen, hey." And it was just there's one thing of being hungry for something, but being desperate for something really comes off like, "Are you good at what you do?" Right. So that kind of like turned him away a bit. And my mistake was, instead of submitting my best work, I submitted my most passionate work. The industry doesn't care what you love. They care about what could make them money.
Right.
So I should have, for anyone submitting their work to someone else, I would look at what kind of comic books they sell and what's the emotional tone of the stories that they sell, and send a sample of what matches that. Don't send what you want to send. Send something that you think business-wise they can market and they would enjoy. Like, for example, Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer, was amazing. and I should have sent something that was supernatural or something that matched up to that, but I sent basically Trusiety. I sent, like, in the year 3033, heroic whistleblower turned private detective Kang Sambo is on the case to clean his name of guilt and shame, along with his goth intern Ruba, as they expose their final conspiracy that'll change the beyond and shock True City forever, which is an amazing book, in my opinion.
Sound good to me?
Thank you. But the industry doesn't care about my opinion. They care about what, like, yeah. Like, some ideas can be so abstract that it would be there's this thing in theater. I used to be a theater major, where, let's say, for example, an actor will say, oh, you know, I just want to do this with this dialogue. The director will say, do that in your own play. Do that in your own show. Right now, like, you're working for us and you have to do what you're told. And there's no shame in that, you know, because some entrepreneurs will say, oh, you know, I'm my own boss. I do what I want to do. Da 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 da. And it's like, are you good at telling yourself what to do?
Right.
And me personally, I'm not. So in order to learn the industry a lot more, I have to kill my entitlement and say, you know what? Let me bow my head for a second. Let me, like, because you have more money than me. So you obviously know something more than me. So let me shut the fuck up and let me bow my head and behave.
Right.
Pretty much. I think that's what this whole game of this whole politics of this whole industry is. It's just learning how to behave. You know, don't do no Kanye West shit and call people 4 a.m. and say, why don't you respect me, Kingwood? You a bitch. You a real bitch. Fuck you, bitch. Like, you can't do that. Do not do that.
That would not. Yeah, that.
Don't do that. You know, like, I understand that you're very passionate and you have ideas that could change the industry. Da 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 da. But these people are in their 40s, their 50s. They've seen it all. They heard it all. They don't care about the dream. They care about the numbers.
Right. Right.
So, all right. Learn how to behave and know your numbers, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
We got one more ad we got to run. After that, we're going to jump into True and his actual comics. I know you got like 2 comics out right now.
Yes.
Right? But like, let's pay some bills first. I went for my Senpai hoodie. It didn't come in yet.
Yeah, of course, folks, that was our Senpai hoodie. It comes in multiple colors. Be sure to check that out on our shop at marrymemedia.com.
The best one is the pink. That pink Senpai hoodie pops. All right, so let's jump into it. Tell us about the comic, True Sighty.
Yes, thank you.
Is it out now?
Yes, it's for free. We're using our book as a portfolio. Check it out. The link is in our bio.
What's it about again?
In the year 3033, heroic whistleblower turned private detective Kang Sambo was on the case to clean his name of guilt and shame, along with his goth intern Ruba, as they expose their final conspiracy that'll shock the beyond and True City forever. So if you ever watched The Matrix, if you ever played Metal Gear Solid, there's this thing where, like, Kang is sneaking around his enemies and then the robot will have, like, an exclamation point over their head. So shout out to Metal Gear Solid. If you ever played, like, Fallout New Vegas, he has this watch that'll fast travel to certain places.
Nice.
So he literally says, like, certain video game terms, like fast travel, inventory, over encumbered. There's a whole bunch of, like, video game references, anime references, though it's mostly Metal Gear Solid and Fallout New Vegas. Yeah.
I'm a big Fallout New Vegas.
So this world is post-apocalyptic?
Yes. Okay. So if you ever played Fallout New Vegas, you know, like it's the apocalypse, but then there's like this beautiful crown jewel of a gambling city in the
Right.
middle of the desert. And like that's where the story begins.
Okay.
The world has ended for a long, long, long time now, and humanity has been on its feet in this particular area of True City for a while now. True City was obviously modeled after New Vegas. It's like the only light source in the city. What else? It's supposed to be this dome city, a replica of New York City. So, like for example, there are other dome cities, other replicas. There's like a dome city of Chicago. There's a dome city of like Washington, D.C. There are all these domes, and if you can, it's very expensive to live there, like fucking New York City. So if you can't live there, you have to live in, you know, the beyond. You know, you have to live with the bandits, or you have to live with a whole bunch of different types of fashions, factions. What else? What else? What else? True
It sounds good,
society.
man.
Thank you, thank you, thank
Right?
you. There's so many moving pieces, and we all want to explain that through. My phone is about to die. Give me a second.
No.
It's on 1%. Can he make
Right
it?
now, until you
Can he
find
make
out, make sure
it?
you
Can he make
subscribe to
it?
AmeriMade Media,
Dun dun dun.
Spotify podcast, subscribe to our YouTube channel. This video will be up Friday at 6 along with the audio. So while you out and about, you could be listening to True Comic talk about his amazing comic that sounds awesome. That I'm definitely going to be reading after tonight. I might put a review up on it on AmeriMadeMedia.com, of course.
All right, we made it.
Awesome.
Shout out to my bootlegged Yeezys.
Yeah,
And my grandma is always getting me bootleg shit. I love her. I love her. Man, I'd be afraid to go to the grocery store with these shits on. They will not let it go. But anyways.
they won't.
Like, hey, what the fuck?
Yeah, I say the brothers that work at the store, yeah, they don't do.
Man, the ox still makes my sandwiches. He's the best one. He's always so nice making my sandwiches. It's a little soggy, but his heart is in the right place.
Where are
So,
you from?
Yankee Stadium.
Okay, New York.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
yeah, New York. I was born in Queens Hospital. But and then we moved to Far Rockaway, Queens. But Far Rockaway, Queens was too ghetto. Too many bullet holes over there. And
Ain't that all of New York?
no, surprisingly no.
No.
Surprisingly no.
Far Rockaway, Queens is the way it was depicted in Coming to America.
Okay.
Really?
That's a like when it was like a lot of common parts.
Don't go to McDonald's. There'll always be someone with a shotgun there.
Right.
Always a bald-headed man too. But our since we've been in the Bronx, our goal is to make the Bronx more interesting. Like, if you ever want to go to a party or you ever want to go to like something going on in the city, it's always in Manhattan or it's always in the Bronx. I mean, well, now it's going to be in the Bronx, or it's always in Brooklyn. But what can we do in the Bronx? Like, how do we bring like Coachella or Rolling Loud to the Bronx? And we speaking of events, we usually shout out to Tokyo ACG and the gaming network in the Bronx. We had like this comic book panel where
Hey, what's up?
we were teaching people how to draw manga. We were teaching people how to write stories and what storytelling is. Long story short, if there are any writers watching this, storytelling comes from the characters and the challenges that they go through. It's not really about the story itself. For example, when I watch Batman, I want to see the psychology of Bruce Wayne and Batman. Right. That's right. One of the interesting parts of characters. Like, how does he deal with being an industry mogul, still running a company, but he has to beat people up in the middle of the night? Is there someone running the company for him? Right. I think that would be interesting how they explain that. Like, is Alfred running the company for him, or is Lucius Fox running the company for him?
Someone has to be running the company for him.
Yeah.
Punching criminals in the face. He's doing something fucked up to his so-called family members.
What if he gets punched in the face and he has to go to a board meeting? Like, how does he explain that?
I'm pretty sure he got enough makeup. He has shit there. Kits in the bathroom. Dane punched me in the face. pull out his concealer from this belt.
Imagine. Hey,
bat concealer.
Eyeliner. Amber Heard. No.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Well, I get the shit just hit the fan this time.
Yeah. So, do you want to explain what happened yesterday? Oh, you know, we got into an argument and it got physical. So, in this picture right here, this is 24 hours later. I use makeup. That's some damn good makeup. That must be like Kim Kardashian makeup, because you out here. But anyways,
Henchman.
That
Henchman. That's an interesting story.
Oh, thank you. I mean, what are some interesting stories that y'all enjoy?
Well, right now I'm reading Good Boy.
Good Boy.
Yeah, it's so I was just talking to my wife about this earlier. It is a story of what if John Wick died instead of his dog, and then his dog takes up the mantle of extracting revenge on his behalf.
Yes, what? And it's exactly what. Yes,
that's basically what it is. So, like, the dog, the animals on there are, like, humanoid.
Anthropomorphic.
I wasn't trying to pronounce that word, so humanoid.
Not all dogs go to heaven. Some send you there.
I love that movie.
So, and Good Boy is basically like John Wick, but the dog picks up the mantle. after John Wick dies, so, like, his master is actually named John in the comic. So after he gets killed, you know, he does what John Wick did in the movie to go. He go down in the basement. He grabbed the money. He grabbed the guns, and now he's extracting revenge.
Wow, who would win in a fight, Hit Monkey or John Wick's dog?
I want to say Hit Monkey because
might have to give that to Hit Monkey.
Cause him, he got the agility,
and he's got a coach on the side.
I was saying he has a coach on the side. He has a coach on the side.
Plus the hit, yo, I've read two Jones of Good Boy. He hasn't faced anyone that crazy yet in Good Boy in comparison to Hit Monkey.
Right. Right.
Like Hit Monkey's still in the Marvel universe.
Right, so like Hit Monkey got Marvel villains. Well, this one is by indie company, so like he ain't really got no villains on this one.
Yeah, he ain't got no like Pokemon badges on his shirt yet.
Right, yeah. Not yet. But the comic is really good. If you get a chance, you gotta pick it up. All right, Corey.
I haven't been catching up on my reading. I just finished watching the first half of this final Stranger Things season. So that's where I've been. Really enjoying that.
So is it the Goonies?
No, but it's definitely Goonies inspired.
Huh.
Yeah, like it's the Duffer Brothers have made a horror 80s nostalgia trip, but it's really good. Like they really don't pull their punches. There's a lot of great practical effects as well as really good CGI,
yeah.
And they definitely know the assignment that they created, and they have a phenomenal cast. They really had to hurry up before puberty.
Kid actors. I saw Spy Kids before.
No, whoa. This ain't it. This
is definitely not Spy Kids.
Yeah. these kids in their own right are already very seasoned. Like, I never felt like fucking kids.
These fucking annoying ass kid actors. Fuck. They're looking at the shit, looking directly at the camera. They're not moving their face.
And the kids have fantastic chemistry, so I would strongly urge checking that out. Hell, you know what? And this is what I tell folks. Watch the first three episodes.
Right.
If you're not interested in the show after the first three episodes, it's not for you. Because I'm like, that's equivalent to watching a 3-hour movie. You watch the first three episodes of something. And this is Netflix, so it's literally an hour. It's not 45 minutes because of commercials. So if you can't get into it from there, that's it. Demon, is there anything you've been into lately?
Sleep.
Sleep and Destiny.
Sleep, Destiny,
Elden Ring.
Oh yes, an Elden Ring.
that has been my rave. Only until I get my new TV. Once I have my new TV, I'll go back to enjoying shows.
But yeah, that's...
It just don't hit the same on the monitors. I don't get the cinematic experience like I want.
But
Sure, before we wrap up, how can the people find you?
Nah, imagine just shuts off the fucking computer. Basically, true.comics.only on Instagram. Check out, you know, our marketing. I fucking hate marketing, but if you're selling anything, you have to market the shit. If you enjoy some of our commercials on our page, then hit the link in our bio. And there's only two things on our website.
We have Truecity and we have Sun on the Ceiling. Sun on the Ceiling is about retired ghostwriter Chris Raw is dragged back into the shady corners of Hollywood to finish his sister's album. It's never really explained until later why she needs a ghostwriter, but it's pretty much your favorite conspiracy theories seen through the perspective of a ghostwriter, of someone that won't believe him anyway, because, oh, nigga, you're not famous. What do you mean you worked with this person or you saw this person at a sex party with Tupac or something like that? Like, oh, you're just a ghostwriter. And one of my favorite scenes is the opening scene, because he's already retired and he already has what he wants in life. And it's kind of like Forrest Gump when he's sitting on the bench, when he's like, oh, when he's already satisfied with life. He's already done everything that he wants to do. And at this point, he's just reminiscing over like the good times and stuff. So he's just on the resort where he's retired at, just reminiscing about the past and like how much he's learned from it. And the other scene is the resort that he's at. The resort that he's at is where the conspiracy theories of like rappers and singers and actors faking their death. So for example, he's at this barbecue with Tupac, or like he's at this barbecue with Biggie, with DMX, with XXXTentacion, with Amy Winehouse. Like they're all like, Fidel Castro is there. Osama bin Laden is there. Like it's just a party, huh?
Right.
This is a wild party.
Yeah, Osama.
So I can't. I'm definitely gonna have to check that one out. Now, folks, we've had True Comics with us today. Be sure to check him out. We're gonna have his website in the description. We want to thank you for coming in today. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You guys are so awesome.
And of course, we want to thank you guys for watching and for listening. This has been the AmeriMe Junkies. Please feel free to check us out at AmeriMeMedia.com. And wherever you're listening to your podcast, we're definitely there too. And of course, be sure to follow us at AmeriMe Media across all platforms. That's AmeriMeMedia.
All right, y'all. We love y'all. Thank you, True, for coming out. Appreciate you, my boy.
Peace. Yeah.